This podcast is a ministry of New Song Christian Fellowship in Louisville, Kentucky. Today's podcast was delivered by our special guest, Scott Engineering of Awaken Ministries. It was recorded on March 17th, 2019. It's our prayer that God will use it to begin and reveal something new in you. God bless.
Good morning. So good to be with you. This is my beautiful wife. There is a lot of us. And so you will see with Awaken comes a whole crew. So we're kind of taking up the whole back there. Can you all just kind of stand so they can see that it's not just the band? You will notice that we have kids with us. We have, So when we can, we travel as a team. And we love that. We travel as families. When we started this, we determined that we weren't going to save the world and leave our families behind. And so we are determined as much as possible when we can. And praise God that you're only 3 hours from us. So that made it really easy. So thank you for that. So as beautiful as Hawaii was, we didn't have all of our families with us. So this is actually even more special than even being in Hawaii because we have them with us. Do you want to say anything?
Yes, we truly are so honored to be here. And Scott and I were both raised in Foursquare and in the Foursquare Church. I want to just introduce my mom, Inger Bretz. Would you stand up, Inger? She has been a Foursquare pastor for over 40 years. Her and my dad planted the Foursquare Gospel in Norway in the 80s. And so I love the emphasis that you have here on missions because I was raised on the mission field. We believe in missions. So keep giving to missions to see the world change. But one thing that's so great about what we get to do is we feel called to the world. But right now, God is really using us here in the United States as well. How many of you know that our nation needs missionaries? The churches need to be awakened. And so we are honored to be in your house today. Thank you for receiving us this morning. Let me just speak a blessing over you. Lord, I just bless this church in the name of Jesus. We just bless every single man, woman, and child that calls this place home. We speak an awakening to New Song Church in Jesus' name, that you would have your will and your way in this place. We bless the pastors. We bless the leaders. We thank you, Lord, that you are launching this church into great things further beyond anything they could ever hope or dream or imagine. Stir up the gifts of God in this place and let this place be a light to thousands and thousands of people as well as nations in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. How many are ready for a word that I believe will change your life? So listen, I say that with confidence, not because I'm a great preacher, but because the word of God is good. And so I want to talk to you today about a breakthrough God, and I want to just get into this because as I was praying and Lydia and I were praying and we were just sensing that God has some breakthrough for you. How many needed a breakthrough in your life? Well, good, because God's going to bring a breakthrough. I believe today he's going to change some mindsets. He's going to renew some things in your life. And I just want to encourage you tonight. In the last year, Awaken has seen blind eyes open, deaf ears open. Just last week, this lady came up to me after we prayed for her. She had been wearing hearing aids for years. She was able to take them out and worship freely without them. She's no longer oculus wearing aids. And so we're seeing God move in physical bodies in miraculous ways. I could tell you some stories that have just blown our minds in this last year and a half or so. And so I want to encourage you, come back tonight, because even as we were worshiping, I just had some prophetic. The prophetic in this church is easy to kind of get stirred up because you guys are a bunch of radicals. And I love it. So just I came in here and I'm like, yes, I could just sense just a freedom in this house because you guys want the true, authentic move of the Holy Spirit. What I'm noticing as we go throughout the nation, and although we minister in nations, in this last year and a half, the Lord has told us to minister in the U.S. And we have ministered from coast to coast and a little further, all the way to Hawaii. And we have just experienced that many churches are hungry for the things of the Spirit, but they're saying, we want the things of the Spirit, but we want to balance in the Word of God. And so one of the key messages from that we're bringing is word and spirit and how they both go hand in hand. Did you know that to be a radical Holy Spirit church does not mean that you have to disregard the things of the Word of God? And to be a radical word church, you do not have to throw out the things of the Spirit. And so over the last 20 or 30 years, what we've discovered is much of the church has not known how to have both, and so much of the church has chosen one or the other. So we're going to be a word church. Awesome. Well, guess what? Who wrote the word? It was breathed through the Spirit. And so when you're reading the word, you can't discount the Holy Spirit. And so you do not have to be a strong word church and discount the things of the Spirit. And you don't have to be a radical Holy Spirit church and discount the things of the Word. They go hand in hand. Amen? And so we are discovering across the nations and across the globe that many pastors are kind of coming into a renewal of saying, we want to flow and move in more of the things of the Spirit. And we don't want to discount the word, and we're giving a loud shout of an amen to them and saying, come on, let's do this together. And that's part of what Awaken is doing, and bring an awakening of worship, I believe, across the globe. Now, how many watch the news and get really discouraged? I mean, it's nasty out there. I mean, it is crazy nasty out there. And you hear you watch it, and you're just like, man, I just, like, you know, after watching the news, I just want to sing, like, nobody likes me, everybody hates me, I want to go eat some worms. It's just how you feel. You feel nasty. But I am here to tell you, you may not get to travel to all the places that we get to go. I'm here to tell you with full confidence that God is on the move. As much as you see of the negative on the news, I could tell you 100 other stories of God on the move. God is moving in the nations, and it's an exciting time to be alive. I hear people say, man, I just remember the good old days. And remember, man, I just wish it could be like it was back then. And listen, that's great. Man, we were just listening to some music from 1983 in our car yesterday. We were blasting some worship music from 1983. And my kids are like, what is this, Dad? And I'm like, this is awesome, is what it is. And they're like, okay, Dad. They're like, put Skillet on now. And I'm like, and I'm just like, we're like, me and my mother-in-law and my wife are just like, oh, this is beautiful. And we were remembering some of the anointing that happened, birthed out of the Jesus movement and such. And we were talking about some of these things and how wonderful it is. But here's some of the issue. And the Bible tells us to remember things, doesn't it? So it is not negative to remember things. But what often happens is a religious spirit tends to look at the past and look to the future. I need to be careful. I saw faces going. But a religious mindset tends to look to the past and look to the future, but cannot recognize that God is moving now. And it's really easy to look and say, man, you remember the good old days? Remember when God was moving back then? Or anticipating and looking, saying, man, I'm so excited for what God's going to do in the future. And we need to have both of those. But we need to recognize, and I'm here to tell you, that God is moving right now in this church, in this place. So as excited as you may be for things that God has done, excited as you may be for what God is going to do, you need to recognize that God is moving in this house right now. We were blessed to have dinner with your pastors last night, and I'm just going to tell you this. If you don't realize this, you have some of the nicest pastors on the planet. I'm like, just beautiful people. And it's funny because my mom has been telling me for years, she's like, I can't wait for you to meet them. And I'm like, me too, it's going to be so fun. And you know, moms have a way of just kind of making everything sound wonderful for their kids, you know, that type of thing. Like, and then I met them and I'm like, I texted my mom last night. I'm like, you're right, they are amazing. They're like the best ever. You guys, your pastors are amazing. Like, we were talking last night, we're like, man, we just love you guys already. And so we're so grateful to be here, be in your house. If you want to turn to Psalm chapter 8, verse 3 through 4, it'll be on the screen as well. When I consider your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? When I consider your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? Do you remember in Job, when Job was kind of having an attitude, anybody ever have an attitude with God? Yeah, four of you are honest. And so sometimes we have these little attitudes with God, and we're like, God, come on. You know, I've given it all for you. God, I've been faithful. I've tithed. I've done this. And we kind of have this, and you may not verbally say it out loud, but I'm going to verbalize sometimes our little attitude with God for you. God, I've done this for you. What about this situation? What about this? And remember when Job was having a little attitude, which how many agree that if anybody had a right to have an attitude, it was probably Job? And then God says, where were you when I drew a circle and put earth in it? It's a fair question. Where were you? Can you hold back the snow? I mean, he starts to describe all this, and he says, where were you when I did this? Where were you when I created the heavens? Where were you at? And he starts to talk to Job and says, you are thinking from this small mindset. You have no clue what eternity looks like. And today I want to talk to you about breakthrough God, because our perspective can get so limited and we forget that we serve a God who has an eternal perspective. And so you're looking at a minute moment in time, and you may be frustrated, you may be irritated, and God is sitting here saying, you need to trust me, child. When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? How many are up against a wall right now, and you need a breakthrough? You know, the interesting thing is, I hear many Christians say they want miracles and they want breakthrough. Do you know that to want a miracle means you have to need a miracle? To want a breakthrough means you have to have something that needs to be broken through. So I want to ask you again, do you want a breakthrough? Some of you are like, well, whether I want it or not, I need it. So when you look at the stars, do you just see the twinkling lights, or do you see the Creator? If he could create the universe in 6 days, how many think that God can handle your situation? He created the universe in 6 days, and then he sits down and he rests and he looks at it all and he's nice and relaxed. He can handle your situation. The good news right now is in this very moment that we serve the God of breakthrough, and you are his child, and God will open doors that no man can close. He'll part the Red Seas. He'll part the Jordan Rivers. He'll bring down the walls of Jericho. He'll shut the mouths of lions. He'll open prison doors. He'll protect you from the fire. He's the God of breakthrough. You know what's interesting, though, is did you notice every story of breakthrough that I just talked about required an action response from the person who needed the breakthrough? Isn't that true? Moses had to lift up his staff. He had to walk in faith. Joshua, they had to step into the waters. You had to go into the lines. They had to stand against. I mean, all of these required a response. You know this in your mind, yet there are people who are crying out in the midnight hour saying, God, why haven't you gotten me my breakthrough yet? Look at this. What we're going to do today is we're going to look at the steps of David, and we're going to see a breakthrough that David experienced. And he experienced this for himself and for the children of Israel. There's two books of the Chronicles cover much of the same time in history as Samuel and the Kings. We're going to look at 1 Chronicles 14, which parallels, if you want to go back and make sure that I'm telling you the truth. This account from the life and the leadership of David, we see how God can give us a breakthrough when we're willing to partner with him. Everyone say, I'm going to partner with God today. All right, 1 Chronicles chapter 14. Holy Spirit, we thank you that your word is here and that you are living, you are powerful, and your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to pierce between division of soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And so we submit to you, we submit to your word, we submit to your spirit. And we ask, Lord, that you will bring breakthrough today in the name of Jesus. Amen. 1 Chronicles chapter 14, Now when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over all Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David. How many have noticed that sometimes God tells you something really cool, and then you have an entire army coming to chase you down? That's exactly what happened to David. it says he had heard that he'd been anointed king over all of Israel. All the Philistines went up to search for David. How many think that David at this point might have been thinking, I was better off before I had the anointing? And David heard of it. I want you to see David's response and tell me, you don't have to respond, but be honest with yourself. How many would respond the way David did? It says, and David heard of it, and he went out against them. I want you to catch this. David's anointed king. All the Philistines, everyone say all. How many know what all is in the Bible? The original language, it just means all. This isn't some complicated word. It means that all the Philistines now are after David. And what does David do? Does he run? Does he hide? No, it says, and David heard of it, and he went to them. How many think David is crazy? Then the Philistines went and made a raid on the valley of Rephaim, and David inquired of God, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand? The Lord said to him, go up, for I will deliver them into your hand. So they went up to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there. Then David said, God has broken through my enemies by my hand like a breakthrough of water. Therefore they called the name of that place Baal Perazim. And when they left their gods there, David gave a commandment, and they burned with fire. Then the Philistines once again made a raid on the valley. Therefore, David inquired, I want you to catch this. David had just had a breakthrough one way, and David comes back, and there's still more stuff that needs to be dealt with. Did David just go do the same thing he did before? No, he inquired of God again, and God said to him, you shall not go after them. Circle around them and come upon them in front of the mulberry trees. How many know that we have a tendency to see something that works and say, all right, I'm just going to keep doing that. David said, I know this worked last week, but are you in it this week? And he inquires of the Lord, and God says, no, that's not how I'm going to do it this time. You shall go out, you shall circle them and come upon them in front of the mulberry trees, and it shall be when you hear a sound of marching on tops of the mulberry trees, then you shall go out to the battle, for God has gone before you to strike the camp of the Philistines. So David did as God commanded him, and they drove back the army of the Philistines from Gibeon as far as Gezer. Then the fame of David went out to all the lands, and the Lord brought the fear of him upon all nations. I want to challenge you today to pursue his purpose. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over all Israel, they went to oppose David. And when we embrace God's destiny for our life, how many know that the enemy will come against you? This is just Christianity 101. If you've been saved for more than 3 minutes, you're going to figure out that the enemy will come against you. There is no breakthrough, though, unless there is something to break through from. Some obstacle to overcome. Some opposition to triumph over. And 1 Chronicles 14:9 says, the enemies went and made a raid on the valley of Rephaim. Rephaim means giants, literally the land of the giants. And it comes from the word Rapha, meaning repair, to mend, to heal. So Rapha, how many know that Rapha is supposed to be yours? Isn't that right? When you come to God, not only salvation, Jesus said, it is done, it is finished. What did he do? He is supposed to be yours, but how many know right in the middle of your healing, of your breakthrough, is the land of the giants? And Rapha is supposed to be yours, but somehow your adversary has raided or ravaged your Rapha. And they got a foothold maybe on your health or your finances or your relationships, causing disrepair, causing financial ruin, causing delays, causing problems. And turning what should be your Rapha, your wholeness, your healing, your deliverance, and turning it into the land of the giants. Many of you right now, you know that God has declared and God has promised things for you. And instead of seeing Rapha, all you see are the giants. And I'm here to tell you today that the land of the giants is going to become your Rapha today. Take heart, because just as God was with David, he's with you. The same anointing that David had for breakthrough is ours today. And it says the enemy came to raid on that very valley. They came right to the place where they thought they were done fighting. How many of you thought you were done fighting and then you see a land of the giants? I mean, come on, I've seen that so many times. I've seen that when I was pastoring our church so many times where we thought we were like, man, yes, we're there. And then we open our eyes and there's a land of the giants. They came right to the place where you thought you were done. The place that not only did they think they were done, it was their rightful place, by the way. Those defeated giants will become your healing and they will become your repair. But when the opposition comes, we cannot surrender to defeat. I just want to just challenge you. One of my wife's life messages to tell people to dream again. And I just feel encouraged right now in this moment to tell some of you, you need to learn to dream again. Because right in the middle of your dream has been the land of the giants, and God is telling you, you need to see Rapha, not Rephaim today. You need to see that all you see is giants, but all I see is healing and wholeness. When David heard that the Philistines were coming against him, he didn't run, he didn't hide in the king's palace. Instead, David heard that the Philistines were looking for him, and he took the fight to them. We have to want it enough to pursue it and persevere with passion. We have to stand like men and women of faith and refuse to allow fear and doubt to hold us back. I'm telling you, loved ones, it's time that we go to Rephaim and we get our Rapha. Breakthrough is related to the purpose and to the mission of God. This comes from a place of rest in Christ. It comes from a place of complete surrender. You know, I hear people saying, I just need more faith. You know, the interesting thing is Jesus has plenty of faith for all of us. What you need is more surrender. Because do you ever see a vine sitting here saying, oh, I just need to work a little harder. If I could just push this fruit out. If I could just get this going. And this is the way we function as Christians oftentimes, that we try to just push it through. And God says, no, what you need to do is you need to surrender. Because, by the way, when we came to Christ, what did we do? Our first act of faith was complete surrender. It was a complete surrender. It's a complete moment of saying, I'm helpless. Without you, God, I have nothing. I can't. That's what salvation is. Salvation is you recognizing that I can't do it without you. I'm completely helpless without you. And then somewhere along the way, we start to think that we can do some things without him. And what we do is we say, well, I'm just leaning on Christ. You were never supposed to lean on him. You were supposed to fall into him. That's how you got saved, and that's how you're supposed to walk with Christ. And many people are just serving God like this. And you're sitting here and you're like, man, I'm leaning on Christ. This is wonderful. Like, God, just thank you that you're there. You're holding me up. And God says, why don't you quit leaning and fall? That's how you got saved. What made you think that you could stand up and start leaning now? When we come to Christ, we come as a place of complete helplessness. When the Lord told us a few years ago now to resign from our church, thriving church in Phoenix, Arizona, we loved this place, the only place I'd ever lived. I was a desert boy. And God says, I want you to move to Nashville, and I want you to take a message of awakening across the globe. It all sounded great, and I said, well, Lord, can I do this from Phoenix where I have a job? Be a whole lot easier. I mean, our church was ready to send us out. They were happy for us to remain the senior pastors, but cut down on not being there as much and still go out to the nations. God says, no, I want to send you to Nashville. And I'm like, God, you know that I don't know that many people there, right? God, you know that I've lived on the West Coast my entire life, and that's where all of our ministry connections are. And God says, no, I want you to go to Nashville. And then a bunch of crazy other people that you've seen around here said, well, we're supposed to go too. And I'm looking here saying, you're all crazy. I mean, my friend Nick, who was on electric guitar here, he was an executive pastor and worship pastor at a church down the street from us. And I'm like, oh, Lord, help his pastor, because him and his pastor and I were both really good friends. And I'm like, Lord, let him not be mad. And his pastor was so beautiful and said, we see the hand of God in this. Jake and Megan, bass player up here, and Megan's back there helping and serving, and just beautiful, beautiful call of God on all these people's lives. Listen, every single one of here could be up here sharing right now. These people are beautiful, anointed people. And God calls all these crazy people. My mother-in-law, 40 years of ministry. She's a giant in the faith. And God calls all these people, and I'm like, guys, this is so exciting. Best guess what? We have nothing to grab a hold of. I don't have a ton of connections. We don't have money. And next thing we know, God says, I want you all. So we all drop everything. They all. And then David over here, God connected us. He's the one who was drumming today. And God connected with us. And he came into the family in a beautiful way. And now he's getting married in 3 months, by the way. And so the Lord calls us to Nashville, and we all drop all of our financial security, and now we're all in Nashville like, yay, God. But here's kind of how the funny thing about how God works is, so we resign from our church, and all of them end up in Nashville, and our house wouldn't sell. And so we kind of launched this whole thing with Awaken to Nashville, and now all of a sudden they're all living in Nashville, and Lydia and I are still in Phoenix like, hey, guys. How's it going over there? We know that sometimes right in the middle of your Rapha is Raphaim. And I remember I was in Nashville at the end of July. I don't remember what year this was, 2 years ago, year and a half. I don't know. Talk to my wife later if you want details. And I was in Nashville with my friends Nick and Stacy. And we had been in Phoenix for 2 months now after resigning. And now it's starting to get to the awkward point because we had resigned from our church, but we're still there in the community. And so they all thought we moved. And so we would be in the grocery store and our congregational members would come in and they'd be like, I'm so confused. I thought you moved to Nashville. Like, yeah, we thought we did too, but our house hasn't sold, so we're kind of stuck. It was just this awkward period of transition. And I was in Nashville, and the Lord gave me a word very similar to this. And he said, I have called you to Nashville, and part of your calling is to bring an awakening. And he said, you need to get here now. Well, the practical side says, yeah, okay. Like, thanks, God. That's helpful. Like, I still have a house here, and I have kids and a dog and my mother-in-law. I need to take care of them all. Like, what am I going to do, God? And the Lord says, I want you to move. He said, what's the enemy going to do if you don't stay there, if you move anyway? And I'm like, that all sounds wonderful, but I have kids. This was all fun and wonderful before we had kids. And God says, but I want your kids to see my hand. And so I called my wife and my mother-in-law. And I said, hey, guess what? We're moving in a week. And I said, I'll fly back in a couple of days, and we're going to just pack up the house. And they're like, well, where are we going to move? I said, I have no clue, but we're going to Tennessee. And they're faith people, so they're just like, okay. And I'm like, you guys are weird. We're all weird. And so we knew that we were called. And so we picked up. 2 days before we were supposed to move, we get a call from a friend in Memphis. They said, hey, this is a friend from high school, by the way. They said, hey, we know it's not Nashville, but we feel like we were praying for you and just felt like we're supposed to open up our home to you. They said, you know, at least you're in the right state. And I'm like, yes. I mean, to me, you have to understand, I was looking at extended stays. I just knew that God had called us, and if God had called us and give us instruction to come into this land, and this is where we were going to be sent from, why in the world would I do anything other than what God had told me to do? In the natural, it made sense to sell your house first because we needed that so we could get into a new house. And so we moved. We got in our car. We left everything in our garage in our house in Phoenix. We got in our house, in our car. We moved. Went and lived with our friends in Memphis for 3 months. In the meantime, our house finally sold, and our church packed up our house for us and sent it out to us. In the meantime, what God did in those 3 months is God substantiated something with Awaken. We ministered in Washington, D.C. We ministered in New Orleans and Oregon. I mean, we had ministered. Mind you, when we launched out in this, we didn't have all these connections. It was just God starting to breathe things upon us and breathe and open up doors and open up all these connections. And it's interesting because our call is different than a lot of people because we're not just a band. That's not our call. We don't feel called just to go and do music. We pour into leaders. We pour into churches. We pour into staffs. And so we do healing ministries and prophetic ministry. And so our ministry is so broad that sometimes people look and say, what do you guys do? In simple, we bring an awakening. Well, how do you do that? Sometimes it's worship. Sometimes it's preaching. Sometimes it's just one-on-one. Sometimes it is ministering to your staff. But the truth is that breakthroughs rarely, if ever, come to the passive, to the timid, and to the fearful. I want you to notice immediately when David's enemy came what he did. David was a great warrior. Commander is a great strategist. David was a great commander. But still, as great of a commander and strategist as David did, what did he do? He stopped and he inquired of the Lord. His secret was he prayed. And the enemy comes and he says, uh-oh, he prayed. Remember, we see Jesus would often withdraw to the wilderness. And that's where power comes, like the breakthrough of the water, which he describes. You need to understand, intimacy and surrender result in breakthrough. And so as much as I'm talking about breakthrough today, I'm also talking about intimacy with God. I'm talking about surrender with God, because when you're in Christ and you're completely surrendered, then you can do these crazy things in the water, like the breakthrough can come. And he's describing like a dam holding back the water and the water just being released. And that's what I see when I prayed. And this morning, I was up early. David looked at me this morning. He's like, did you sleep last night? I'm like, a little bit. He's like, because I woke up and I saw you studying and praying, because I had just some sense in my spirit that there is a water. There's like a dam and a reservoir that God is just releasing and breaking through and opening up some things in this church. We were even talking last night, and I was like, babe, I'm conflicted a little bit of what to speak and pray. And I was talking to my wife and talking to my mom, and we felt like, man, we were praying. And one thing that we just sensed in our spirit is that love, I mean, this church is just, you meet your pastors, how could you not have love in this church? You're marked by that. I sense that love, and your pastor said it this morning so beautifully, is that perfect love casts out all fear. What I believe is that God is just releasing something that you've experienced, but a next level of breakthrough. Breakthroughs come to people who pursue their purpose with passion and refuse to let their dreams die. Guys, if you can come on up. How many think that heaven must weep when Christians are one knock away from an open door and they stop knocking? When Christians are one invitation away from seeing our loved ones saved and we stop asking? When we're one good day of work away from a promotion and we quit working? Could you imagine the breakthroughs that we miss? And there are no victories for people who surrender to defeat. There's no breakthroughs for people who refuse to passionately and persistently pursue their God-given purpose and calling. I want you to also learn this, to discern divine direction. Discern divine direction. The reason some people have never experienced their breakthroughs is because they take action without asking God. And they get into disgruntled situations. I've seen this time and time again. I've seen people come to me and say, Pastor, I'm so frustrated. How come God is just not breaking this open for me? I said, well, when you bought that, did you ask God? Well, no. I said, well,
here's the issue that we do, is we live our life on our own, and then we get ourselves into peculiar situations, and then we cry out to God because he's not in it, and God says, well, if you would have asked me ahead of time, I would have told you that I was never in it. Now, the grace of God comes, and he redeems, and he restores things. Thank you, Jesus, that he cleans up our messes. But how many know that wouldn't it be better, instead of God having to clean up our messes, that we actually walked in his will? And we walked in his purpose? The word says that he prepared works beforehand that we should walk in them. He does not say that he prepared a bunch of messes for you to go in so he could clean up. It says he prepared works beforehand that you should walk in them. David asked God straight up. I love this. He says, will you deliver the Philistines into my hands? Some of us might not be asking the right questions, by the way. David didn't just ask God what he should do. He asked this question, will you deliver the Philistines into my hands? And God said, go up, for I will deliver them into your hands. David had assurance from God. We see that David didn't just inquire once. When the enemy came again, he inquired again, not assuming that the directions were the same. Could you imagine the young soldiers who are surrounding David? And these young soldiers have heard of the great strategist, King David. And they're ready to go to war. And David had charged, and he's there, and then he stops everything and says, wait, I need to go pray. I need to go have my devotion time. Could you imagine all these young warriors saying, what? And you could picture the older soldiers who've been around the block a little bit and have seen God respond to David, saying to the young ones, just wait for it. Wait. David comes out of his tent. Bam, it's on. Let's go. You could picture, because they know. If all you ever do is pray and not obey, by the way, nothing is going to happen. You won't have your breakthrough. We don't just stumble into breakthrough. Real breakthrough comes as a result of constant movement based on constant surrender. So move with mandate today. So what happened next is David led his army against the Philistines, and they defeated them at Baal Perazim. Once David had God's approval for his action, he went. See, breakthroughs come when you allow God to do something through you. Now here's the good news. How many know that sometimes we need more than one breakthrough? Do you know what Baal Perazim means? It means the God of the breakthroughs. Meaning that you don't just get your Rapha once and it's one and done. He says, I have breakthrough for you tomorrow. I have breakthrough for you next week. And listen, when you start that new business and you come up against a hurdle, guess what? I'm going to have breakthrough again for you. He's the Baal Perazim, the God of the breakthroughs. It's time for a breakthrough. Breakthroughs come when you allow God to do something through you. It says in Exodus that as long as Moses held up his staff in his hand, that the Israelites had the advantage. Remember when he dropped his hand, the Amalekites gained the advantage? Isn't it strange that God has us do physical responses for spiritual context? Why don't we stand up and let's do a physical response for a spiritual context? If we could just lift up our hands, and if you need a breakthrough right now, and you want to see your Rephaim become your Rapha, you want to see God mend, heal, deliver, set you free, then right now I just declare, I come before you, God Almighty, King of the universe. Lord, you created the universe in 6 days. You can handle their situations. Lord, I thank you for a new song, Church. And so, Lord, first I declare for the corporate people who make up this church, Lord, that you will release and break through your spirit in this place like they've never seen before. Lord, that they will be a lighthouse in this city, like even beyond what they already have. Lord, that people will look at them and say, there is something that you have. You have been able to grab the power of the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, and we want that. And Lord, now I declare over each and every individual, Lord, that you are the God of many breakthroughs. And we just declare a release in healing right now, a release in financial things right now, a release in relationships right now. Lord, that you will redeem marriages where marriages need to be restored, Lord. That you will relieve, Lord, I just declare right now for the wayward children. Lord, those children who are far off, I just declare right now, if that's you and your child is off and your child needs to come home, I just declare right now hope in you in the name of Jesus. And we call your children home in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that there are businesses that you are stirring. And Lord, where fear has crippled some in this room, that right now you are calling them, Lord, to take Raphaim and to make it their Rapha, to make it their healing, to make it their wholeness. And I just even sense right now that there's at least one business person in this room where God has given you entrepreneurship ideas and you have held off because of fear. And God is telling you right now that I've called you forth to fund the kingdom of God with great generosity. And you holding back in fear is releasing funding into the kingdom of God. It is time for you to break through, because your breakthrough is going to cause others to break through. Lord, I thank you for this church, that you are doing something so significant and so special. We submit to you. We love you. Thank you, Jesus. Pastor.
This podcast is a ministry of New Song Christian Fellowship in Louisville, Kentucky. Thank you for letting us share this message with you. May God bless you in constant and powerful ways. If you would like a copy of today's podcast, please send us an email to nslk@nslk.org. God bless.